And now another no-brainer money-saving tip from Progressive.
Marcus, what happened?
I was changing my oil and I spilled some on the floor.
Oh, well, use these $50 bills to wipe it up.
Perfect. Got any more?
Yeah, take a couple hundred.
Stop. Instead of using money, use an old rag. And here's a better tip from Progressive on how not to waste money. Don't pay too much for car insurance. Drivers who switch and save could save hundreds. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Potential savings will vary.
This is episode 4 of You've Been Gilmored.
It was at Luke's. It was at lunch. It was a very busy day. The place was packed. And this person...
Is it me?
This person comes tearing into the place in a caffeine frenzy.
Oh, it's me.
I was with a customer. She interrupts me, wild-eyed, begging for coffee. So I tell her to wait her turn. Then she starts following me around, talking a mile a minute, saying God knows what. So finally I turn to her, and I tell her she's being annoying. Sit down, shut up. I'll get to her when I get to her.
You know, I bet she took that very well, because she sounds just delightful.
She asked me what my birthday was. I wouldn't tell her. She wouldn't stop talking. I gave in. I told her my birthday. Then she opened up the newspaper to the horoscope page, wrote something down, tore it out, handed it to me.
God, seriously. You wrote the menu, didn't you?
So I'm looking at this piece of paper in my hand, and under Scorpio, she had written, "You will meet an annoying woman today. Give her coffee and she'll go away." I gave her coffee.
But she didn't go away.
She told me to hold on to that horoscope, put it in my wallet, and carry it around with me. One day, bring me luck.
Well, man, I will say anything for a cup of coffee. I can't believe you kept this. You kept this in your wallet? You kept this in your wallet.
8 years.
8 years.
Oh, be still my heart.
La la, la la.
All the way from Cranston, Rhode Island, welcome to You've Been Gilmored. It's a podcast dedicated to the show Gilmore Girls on Netflix. So grab yourself a cup of coffee and a pint of ice cream and enjoy the show.
La, la, la.
I'm going to start singing along, everyone. Hello. I'm your host, Mary Larson.
My name is Blake, and that just melts my heart every time
right?
I hear that scene. Oh, my goodness gracious. And the thing I didn't play for you, which I probably should have, but it went a little too long, was when he says, "I'm all in." What we're doing here, I'm all in.
Oh,
my goodness gracious.
Yes, yes, yes. Gosh, you know, I'm so glad that this was part of our collaboration of episodes that we got to talk about.
How could it not be?
Right? Seriously.
This is probably one of my favorite Gilmore Girls episodes of all time.
And I think that you are not alone in that assumption. Of course, this is written in the stars. This is season 5, episode 3. And what an awesome episode this one is.
Damn straight. I mean, listen, we are categorizing this as, in case you haven't noticed yet, this is the best Lorelai and Luke episode, right? Mm-hmm. And oh my word. And I think, it really could be more than just Luke and Lorelai. I think this could be probably at least top 5. I think this probably goes up there with Friday Night's All Right for Fighting for me.
Mm-hmm.
I really like that episode too. And you know what? As controversial as it may be, I really like the finale too. I really do.
That's okay. Some people do and some people don't. So that's all right.
I know. But oh God, this episode, as much as I was crying in Those Are Strings, Pinocchio, some tears were coming down on this one. And it's not only because was it like really romantic and beautiful and funny too, how it all went down.
Mm-hmm.
But it was just one of those things that you were just waiting for it to happen. You were dying for it to happen. You couldn't wait for it to go down. And then it finally did. And oh my God, it was like you could just let loose and enjoy the fact that Luke and Lorelai were finally together. And as much as you were surprised that they were finally together, they were too. Do you know what I mean?
Yes, yes. They were giddy. They were absolutely giddy.
Couldn't.
As am I. I can't stop smiling just from hearing that little clip that you played in the beginning of the episode. Like, I don't think I will ever get sick of watching that particular clip.
No, no, God, no. I mean, although their first kiss was a really good one too. Mm-hmm. I really liked their first kiss. I thought that was, just so cool, man.
So
8 years.
I'm just gonna play it. I'm gonna play it.
Lorelai, this thing we're doing here, me, you.
Oh my God, I can't.
I just want you to know I'm in.
I'm all in.
I am all in.
Oh my God, I love it. I love it.
Does that?
Oh yeah.
Are you scared?
No. No.
Never, Luke. And she just like, she just has this face like, oh.
And then they're in bed.
And then, yeah, wake up.
It's like a fortune cookie.
Naked.
Yeah.
God, if it was that easy.
In bed.
God, if it was that easy, I would have done that too.
If you carry around a horoscope for 8 years in your pocket, my goodness.
Listen,
well,
listen, you know what? I actually, and this is the honest to God truth. Unfortunately, we are not live right now. But just so everybody knows.
What's in your wallet?
In my wallet.
What commercial says that? What's in
right
your
here?
Wallet?
Hear that?
Okay, yes.
This This is a ticket.
Oh, a ticket of what?
It's a ticket to Fenway Park, where I took my wife and I spent an exorbitant amount of money.
Oh my goodness.
On our second date. We went to go sit on the Green Monster.
Mm-hmm.
And I have kept this ticket since 2007. So technically, I've beaten Luke. I've kept this ticket for 9 years. And it's flimsy. You can't even read it anymore. It just sits in my wallet. And
aww.
I look at it every once in a while. And the only reason why I know it's the one is because there's a stamp of Wally the Green Monster on it.
There you go.
I can still see that. And I wonder
if this is a common thing that guys do. If guy, you know, girls have lots of things that we all do as a general thing. I wonder if guys hold on to things in their wallet.
I do. Yeah, like that right behind the ticket that I have for you. Actually, I have the ticket for Game 6 of the World Series for the Red Sox when they played. What the hell? The Cardinals in the World Series in 2013. I went to Game 6, the one they clinched with my dad back then. So those are the two things that I keep in my wallet as good reminders.
I love it.
So yes, you know what? Damn straight, I beat Luke.
There you go.
Screw you, Luke.
Nope. Please. All right, let's get into our GBGs, otherwise known as our good, bad, greats.
All right, my love, what do you got?
All right. My good is a little off topic.
Okay. I'm fine with that.
I had a lot of fun in the older Gilmores in this episode.
Okay.
I did. You know, this of course is the Lorelai Luke episode, but I just had fun with the banter that Emily couldn't get over the fact that Richard had left and it was after 7:30 p.m.
I know.
And I'm saying this because
be something that you would do.
I'm at a point in my life where I go to bed very early because I have little kids, and I had a great laugh because that's how I feel about many friends of mine. I'm like, oh, they're going out after 7:30 p.m. What? I can't get
that's
over
just
it.
Not normal.
So I thought that was funny, and I thought it was great. So that was my good. My bad, where we got to hang out with three males in this episode that mm-hmm. she has some kind of a little flirtatious fling with. She hung out with Marty,
mm-hmm.
my favorite, Marty.
Who never comes of anything with her.
Poor Marty isn't coming back to the remake. I'm so sad. I love Marty, as do many, many Gilmore Girls
Every
fans.
Time I hear Marty, I think of this.
Well, we're going, we don't need roads.
Thank God Marty didn't wear a vest, because exactly, then he'd be wig too big of a reference. And then she sees Dean,
tab.
Of course. And she has her first run-in with Logan. And so my bad is Logan, especially in this episode. This is the Logan that I just can't shake. This is the Logan that I, you know, have a really hard time getting the sour taste out of my mouth. And I know it's his posse of friends, and he's not the one totally being a jerk. Like, he's just some rich kid who doesn't remember who they are.
Right.
But Logan pissed me off. Okay.
Yeah.
He was my bad. I know he needed to be in there, but I got a chip on my shoulder.
I was on board with Logan until he said, well, you know, I did pay him, and you know, he
Smarmy.
Did serve me. I'm like, come on, you're just trying to win an argument now. And that's just, you're being a dink.
And
you're being a dink for no reason.
My great is 8 years.
finally. Because granted, as show watchers, it was, you know, season 5. So we didn't wait 8. But my God, we've been waiting a long time. So
5, actually. 5 yeah, years. Well, yeah. 4. But yeah, like four, this is the beginning of 4.5.
4.25. Yeah.
4.05.
So I just write, finally. That's my great. Finally, finally, finally.
Oh, yeah.
How about you? What's your good?
My good was Scott Patterson.
Okay.
Scott Patterson as Luke is just right on the money.
Mm-hmm.
I love how he portrays Luke. He has a soft side to him. He's funny. It reminds me of when, it actually reminds me of the last episode. There was a Strings Pinocchio when they're talking about the insurance. And he's like, and he fulfills all the things that you would think a guy would do. Like, oh my God, the cost to build this thing, the yes. insurance must be out of control.
Yeah.
Scott Patterson just really fulfills this portrayal of a no-nonsense character who's straightforward, isn't messing around. But what he does is he makes him soft enough. He makes him soft enough to believe Luke as a real person. And nothing comes more from this than the scene with Lorelai at Sniffy's.
Mm.
When they're there and he's saying, I'm all in. And as a viewer, you're saying, I'm all in.
Me too.
As a guy, that's something a guy would say, I'm all in. I'm ready to do this. I'm not screwing around. It actually reminds me of me, as a matter of fact. When I said to you, I didn't really ask you to be my girlfriend. I said, I kind of want to parade you around as my girlfriend.
My yeah,
all
yeah.
my friends. And is that something you'd want to do? Would you be okay with that? And that's how I asked my wife right now, to be my girlfriend. And it's that's true. The truth. That's the honest to God truth.
After I ate a whole bag of peanuts.
And a hot dog and all the condiments.
I was hungry. I didn't know where you were taking me. I thought I was going to go eat like Italian dinner.
Oh my God. That was
a...
We should just have a podcast episode just about that date.
Okay.
Because I forgot my wallet at the car. And we were on the tee going into Boston.
But today is about Lorelai and Luke.
I know. You're right.
Date.
You're right. Sorry. So my bad. The end with Dean. What are we messing around with Dean for?
Oh, we know that what we're messing around.
Oh my God, she's already broken up his marriage. Like the kid threw it all away for her, and then she goes back to him. She goes in the house, and they're gonna, you know, get it on. I'm over Dean. I'm over Dean and Jess and the boys. I'm over all of that. Like I said last episode, and yet Paris, yet again. Paris with the English teacher, the professor, the guy dying, having a heart attack.
Oh my God, I loved her line, like, no, I did not bring him down with my vagina.
that was a good line. That was a close second to the for the best line this episode.
Oh wow, yeah.
I'm done with Paris. I don't mm-hmm. care that she was having an affair with the teacher.
Oh God, no.
And I don't care about their.
Did you have a lot of friends who had affairs with teachers at your school?
I did have one friend, and mm-hmm. she will remain unnamed.
Oh my God, do I know this friend?
You do. So I will tell you off the record.
Oh my gosh. Your school was a small school.
Yes, it was.
Wow.
But you will remain unnamed. The great was Lorelai going downstairs to get the coffee. And it truly makes you believe that something like this. In Luke's flannel shirt. And I love when Luke says, you know, that's it could be any outfit you would wear. She goes, yeah, normally it would include pants.
Yeah. That was perfect.
So, just how cute that was and how she's walking down. She isn't thinking. You're not paying attention.
She just wants coffee.
And then, boom, there she is.
The entire
the whole town,
place.
You know, the entire place yeah. is filled. And she's like, oh. And she just walks upstairs. She's like, so yeah, everybody knows now.
Except nobody acknowledged that they knew.
Except really at the awkward. Town meeting. Oh, yeah. The town meeting was even better.
Well, I like your great.
So yeah, I really loved that whole scene. I thought it was funny. I thought it was cute. And that is a good personification of what Luke and Lorelai are together.
All right. What is your coffee rating then?
See, my coffee rating would have been much higher if not for the Paris crap.
Okay, all right.
The Paris crap really brought this down. I don't care about the wake. I don't care about the guy. I'm glad that, you know, Rory's back in school. She moved in. She's with Marty and all that stuff. But I don't care about this character. Why am I spending so much time with Paris in this character? It doesn't make sense to me. As such, my coffee rating, I'm going to have to put it down to about a 4.5, maybe a 4.4.
Okay.
And it's only that high because of the I'm all in scene.
See, I'm doing the opposite. I'm giving this a 5. This is by far one of my favorite episodes of Gilmore Girls. So I'm rating it a 5 within my Gilmore Girls coffee cup rating scale.
Right.
I love it. And you know, Paris is Paris. Yeah, I can get by it. I can get through it because that 8 years, man, that horoscope,
yeah.
I can forgive everything in that this episode. Scene. It wasn't bad.
Does that mean you can forgive me for holding on to the ticket for 9 years whenever I do something stupid?
Nope. This, you are not Luke.
Thank you. Appreciate that.
That's... You're not fictional. You're a real life guy.
I know, but and, I did something better than
hey,
a fictional
listen,
guy.
Listen, Luke does some wrong things that can't just be forgiven with a horoscope later on in their relationship.
Fair enough. Okay? Fair enough. I will give you that.
They just had one night.
All
one
right.
Night
fair enough. Only. All right. Best line, my love. I picked it out, but however, would you like to aid me in this best line?
Yes, we can work it out.
Yes. So this is not necessarily a best line. It's more of a best scene. Now, the obvious choice would be to pick 8 years or I'm all in or all that other stuff. However, I wanted to be a little bit more creative. And ooh, the most creative part of this episode outside of Luke and Lorelai, I felt, was this exchange between Richard and Lorelai. So I will be Richard and Mary will be Lorelai. And it starts off, his name is Robert.
I thought every butler's name was Jeeves.
He's not a butler. He's a valet.
So he parks your car?
No, he does not park my car. He does exactly what you see him doing.
So he's a bartender.
He attends to my needs.
So he's a geisha?
You'll be a quieter once you have a drink, I assume. That, to me, is the best one.
Alrighty, you ready to start the recap?
Yes, I am. Let's do it. So, this episode was entitled Written in the Stars, as we've already discussed. It was written by Amy Sherman-Palladino, the creator of the Gilmore Girls, and directed by Kenny Ortega. Now, my love, again, I know you don't know who this is. However,
oh my God, you're so mean.
No. What I was about to say was, you are a huge fan of his work.
Okay.
Okay, you ready for this?
Yes. Y'all ready for this?
He has directed 12 episodes of Gilmore Girls.
Awesome.
Such
love.
As They Shoot Gilmores, Don't They? Friday Night's All Right for Fighting. We've already discussed that. Another one that's up for our discussion, A Deep Fried Korean Thanksgiving, and Knit People Knit. He directed all those episodes in addition to many others. But he has also directed such greats as Hocus Pocus.
What?
Yeah, he directed Hocus Pocus. Oh, yeah.
I love that movie.
Yeah. He directed some Ally McBeal. He directed High School Musical 1, 2, and 3.
Get your head in the game.
And he directed This Is It, the Michael Jackson documentary, as well as The Descendants.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah. This man is like your spirit animal.
He is.
Kenny Ortega is your spirit animal.
Covering so many, so many things that I have watched on Sunday afternoons at 4 p.m.
So, he is just, he's your man.
He is.
You know?
Awesome. So, all right, let's talk about this episode. Let's get the smaller characters out of the way.
Yeah, let's do it. What do you got for me?
Let's deal with all these guys that Rory dealt with.
Okay. Fair enough.
Does she know that Marty has a crush on her?
No, God no. Marty is so far in the friend zone he can't even see his own face.
Does she like arguing with Logan?
Yes, she does.
Why?
Because he isn't equal to her.
Mm.
He isn't equal to her. Because they started arguing and you could see it in her face that she enjoyed it, and that's why she went to Dean's.
Yeah, I was just gonna say, why did she go to Dean then?
Because she was getting her corpuscling from Logan, but didn't know what to do.
Okay.
So she said, oh, Dean, I'll go back to my booty call. Dean, he'll fall for it.
Aww.
So, yeah, no, she likes Logan because he is essentially the male version of her, albeit a little bit more snobby, albeit much more wealthy, and a little bit more problems with his family that we have not yet gotten to, but he does have them.
Okay.
All right. So that's why she's into
it. Done with those guys.
Yes, totally done.
So Richard, why do you think that Emily and Richard wouldn't have just paid for like an apartment? Why is he in the pool house? He's right there.
I think this was a story thing.
Okay.
I don't think that this was an actual thing. But if we're going to go with an actual thing, it's probably because it's his house, too. And he doesn't want to leave. He's got all of his stuff there. He's got his study. We already mentioned that. although... I'd love for the scene when she's like, he's like, you need to make an appointment to come in here.
Yes.
He's like, I need to make an appointment to come to my study. You need to be in the pool house. I am. Well, you're not right now. You know, like that whole give and take was just amazing.
So as a child from divorce, like pretty much the interaction when Emily was upset that she felt like Rory had used up all of her good stories with Richard while they had cocktails and that she felt like everything
was all talked out.
Yeah. Yeah. That's like pretty much how it is, especially when your parents first get divorced and you like spend Christmas Eve at one house and then Christmas morning the other. That's how it really felt. So for you to not have ever experienced that, Blake, you get a little bit of a taste of it. So
it's pretty realistic then. It's pretty realistic how it's poured. I mean, not to that extent. I mean, obviously that's...
It's very different.
There's a little bit more hyperbole
A little bit of it. So, yeah. And then another character that we wanted to talk about, even though you didn't really like her plot line, Paris. So Rory and Paris are living together again.
Yes, they are. And I can really deal
with that. Why do you think Rory chose to live with Paris again?
It's unknowingly, Paris is her best friend. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And she needs Paris because I think Paris is what drives her. And it's hard to say that too, because I think Rory is somebody that doesn't need to be driven from outside forces.
Mm-hmm.
But ever since that first time in Chilton, all they did was just kind of compete. And you had that instant where she was like, Chilton is my place. This is my space and I will rule it. Mm-hmm. And you will not be valedictorian. Of course, Rory becomes valedictorian and puts all that to shame and they become friends. But I think that they need each other and that's why that they are together.
Okay. I like it.
Yeah. Very good. Because I'm awesome. That's why. I'm better than Luke. I'll tell you that. Hey, rookie, what do we got going on here?
That was my alarm to make sure our children were in bed.
Oh, okay.
Rookie. That was a rookie mistake. Okay, we can move on.
All right, what do you got?
Luke and Lorelai.
Oh, man.
So finally.
Yes.
And I love the comments about how those jeans are really working for you.
Oh,
I know. And how she
does
a little strut. Just giddy. Just absolutely giddy.
Yeah.
But it is kind of weird that no one in the town talks about them. So, of course, you know, they're like, who do you think they know? What should we do? And then, of course, we realize that everyone has to know when Lorelai comes down just wearing a flannel t-shirt. But nobody says anything to her. Why didn't Babette or Miss Patty or anybody say something to Lorelai?
I wonder if they knew because they knew that it was going to be on Taylor's to-do list at the town meeting. So they were just pretending that they didn't notice, that they know what's coming and they don't want to clue Lorelai in. And here's a deeper analysis. Maybe they didn't want to tell her because they knew they were going to have the vote.
Mm-hmm.
Whether or not, you know, and whether or not Lorelai and Luke should be together. And I mean, the fact that a town is voting on whether or not they should support.
Make a date.
Like, it's so stupid. But
and yet, I totally get it. I totally get it because, once again, I've had some really close friend groups. And when you have two friends start to date, it's like, oh, man.
Yeah, what happens if they break up?
If this goes sour, you're going to have to pick and choose.
It's going to either have to be Luke's or Dragonfly Inn. And they're both staples.
And I love how Luke was finally just like, whatever. I'm going to leave. I'm going to move. Whatever. We'll just end this conversation.
That's it. We're not voting on this. But it's my relationship, not yours. Not yours. He points at Lorelai. Yours. And certainly not yours, Taylor. Awesome.
That meeting was amazing.
It was great because it went from like kind of, you know, the stupid nonsense that they usually talk about, and then it just
and now we bring the need to bring them for discussion.
They bring out the maps.
Yes.
And like and Luke was always taking down all the maps.
I love that. Lorelai brought him there on their date.
Oh,
he was all set too. He was all set with going.
He's like, it reminds me of the apple picking I told you about. He's like, when people just don't like apple picking, but they'll go because that's what they're supposed to do. And Luke went to this meeting because he just was supposed to go. He didn't want to go to that stupid ass meeting. Who cares about that, right? But he went because he's a good man. He's a good man and he cares about Lorelai.
He is a good man. I mean, he even went to go pick her up. And how precious was that?
Oh my God. And it's like, they're such good friends that they don't even know how to interact as a couple quite yet.
She came out because she was going to go drive to him. She had no idea.
She's going to meet him at the diner. He's like, oh yeah, well, yeah, that makes sense. But you know.
Oh my God. It was just so cute. It was just so cute. And then we find out that Luke has a Luke's.
Oh my God. I know. And what I really liked about this too was that they know Luke outside of Luke being Luke. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean?
Yeah, Maisie went to school with Luke's mother.
Right.
And then Buddy actually helped him start the diner. So these are like his parental figures.
Right.
Who he sees 2 to 3 times a week.
And they are aware of how special Lorelai potentially is, because obviously Luke does not bring girls around to that place, and nor should he. I mean, this is a very special place. This is a place for him to escape. These are people with whom he has spent probably most of his life, mm-hmm. and has a lot of respect for, especially Buddy, because he helped him with the restaurant. So to give Lorelai an insight into that, and giving the viewer an insight into that, is something that is extremely beneficial for the show and for the character of Luke. Because without that, Luke is, again, as much as I love him, he's a little bit of a caricature. And it shows you that Luke takes this very seriously, and he sees the other couple as a mirror for he and Lorelai. Mm-hmm. It shows her, I'm in this. And he says it quite literally, I'm all in. But he's showing Lorelai too, this could be us if you allow it to be. And are you scared?
I wonder. Yeah. Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So that's what I think. I think that this is the mirror for the two. And it's the mirror for Lorelai. It's the mirror for us as the viewers. We are expecting that they become the next people to run their own restaurant.
I wonder if Maisie and Buddy are going to be in the reunion.
Oh,
if they're still alive.
I don't think that they're still alive, kiddo. I don't know.
Oh. If someone knows, please.
Hey, you know, I'll look it up right now. Save me. I'll keep talking. I'll look it up right now.
Oh, God. Well, I just loved how these characters were so excited to have him there. We just talked about how they were like a parental figure for us, for Luke, and I adored it. So, and how they even had champagne.
He's like, I hate champagne.
from the very beginning of this date to the end of it was so unexpected and kind of quirky and fumbly, just like most first dates are. I mean, when he was trying to get her inside the door, and she even said, like, we're going to get better at this. Mm-hmm. And even with her going downstairs naked, pretty much.
Yeah, Catherine Justin, who plays Maisie, died in 2012.
Oh my God.
So she ain't making it. She woke up dead.
What about, that's not funny. What about Buddy?
I'm trying
Buddy
to look
looked
up,
older.
I'm trying to look up Buddy right now.
Oh my gosh. Rest in peace,
so,
Maisie.
Yeah, no, I can't find it.
Oh, she's with Sniffy.
Sniffy the dog. How funny
Sniffy
was that story,
dog.
By the way?
That was a terribly sad story.
Terrible story.
Why would you end a menu, the back of the menu,
and he died.
Sniffy died. That's why you named your restaurant Sniffy's, and then he died.
Oh my God.
Oh my goodness gracious. So, all right, I'll let you keep going. You know, you make coffee for a living, Blake.
I do. That's my job.
What do you think it is about Luke's coffee that makes it so good?
It's the cocaine. That's what we do in our coffee. That's what I tell everybody.
Seriously, what makes Luke's coffee so good?
Nothing, nothing. It's just the manner in which it is brewed. And I also think it's the environment in which it's brewed. Coffee tastes good at your house, but it doesn't taste as good as when you're in a diner or you're at Dunkin', because it's something about the cup, especially
Didn't
like a
you
diner.
Tell me that like our coffee, like my Keurig, can't make it really hot enough that it needs to be.
Right. I mean, if you want to get all right.
I'm trying to get technical because Lorelai, because right. You know, Luke always says, like, how much coffee have you ever had? And she'll say, I already had 5. And I'll say, then why do you need more? And she'll say, because yours is so much better. And I want to know, why is it so much better?
Well, all right. All right, here's the nerd alert. All right. Okay. Calling all coffee nerds. This is probably the reason why it's better.
This is probably something that no other Gilmore Girls podcast has talked about.
Damn straight, no way.
The chemistry of coffee.
The reason why coffee tastes so good at a place like Dunkin' or like Starbucks
or like Luke's
is because they have commercial grade brewers.
What does that mean?
Meaning the brewer that they have is able to get up to 200 degrees. Now, you're supposed to brew coffee at around 196 degrees. All right. That's the temperature at which the water has to come out of the spout.
Okay.
Now, when it goes through the coffee grounds, obviously it gets a little bit cooler, whatever. But your average Keurig or your average coffee brewer probably only gets up to about 170-ish. So it's not extracting the oils from the coffee that a commercial brewer would actually do. Now, knowing Luke's, he probably doesn't clean the grinders all that much. and he probably...
I would say Luke would.
No, I don't think so. Because Luke's got other things going on. He's got to make the food.
Is it Carlos who's in charge of cleaning it?
Yeah.
Okay.
So, you know, ultimately, he's probably got oils that have been in there for a long time in the grinders.
It tastes good.
And it makes it taste a little bit better. It would even give a little bit of a sour taste if you paid attention
like
to it.
Like a Dutch oven when like you cook a lot of good things in it and then, you know, your marinara sauce.
Oh, you know what? You know what?
No.
We're going to back that one up. We're going to back that train up.
You know what I'm talking about?
I can't get past it.
Those
now.
Of you.
I can't get past it now.
Okay, we're getting back to coffee. So his coffee grounds probably are heated at a much higher temperature.
They're brewed at a much higher temperature.
Than we normally would do or that Lorelei would do
at
home.
And I also think, again, coffee is the finicky little wench, okay? It's kind of like plants. You got to talk to it. You got to love it a little bit. And the way that I see it is there's a lot of love at Luke's. And because of that, it just tastes that much better. And the other thing too is, coffee doesn't taste as nearly as good as it should unless it's in a mug, like a porcelain mug. That's when coffee is at its best. Not in a styrofoam cup, not in one of those other cups that you take out on the road or whatever. No. Not porcelain, ceramic mug. That's what you need. And a ceramic mug that's been like around for a long time with like the scratches in it, you know what I mean?
Oh yeah.
That's what you need.
Your nicks.
Sorry. So now that's your 5-minute coffee talk.
And on that note, that's my recap.
Get out of here. No way. But you get nothing else?
That's it.
You get nothing else.
That's all I care about.
We're not gonna talk about Emily and how she's freaking out about Richard.
I already did.
What's Richard doing?
I already did. I already talked about Emily.
Yeah.
And 7:30 p.m. And we talked about the geisha. You know, all that matters is Lorelei and Luke are together. It's been 8 years in the making, but four for show watchers.
Yep. Is there anything else that you would want?
And Maisie's dead.
she ain't making it back to the reunion.
I can't even find Buddy.
I don't even know where Buddy is. I've been searching for Buddy too. I can't find him. But is there anything else you would want out of that relationship? I mean,
out of that first date.
Do you think that was the perfect first date for those two? Do you think it did them justice?
I'll tell you why it was perfect. Because as they are in their post-coital bliss in bed, he gets a pen and he says, all right, what music do I need to get? And she starts listing it off. And I was like, Luke, like you got it. Like some things about Luke, he just won't change. Mm-hmm. But I thought that was really cool. And it got Lorelei so excited that, mm-hmm. you know, he's going to check out this music that she loves. And I don't know. I think it was a perfect first date.
A lot of the things that we talk about here on Mary and Blake Media, we always talk about how a show feels. What does it make you feel? What experience do you get out of the feeling that you watch? And the feeling that I got was it reminded me of being on the Green Monster at Fenway. It reminded me of our first few dates and how that feels. And I remember when we first started dating, one of my employees came up to me and said, hey, you know, you look different. You feel, you just seem happier. What's going on? And I had the pleasure of telling her, mm-hmm. you know, that I met the woman of my dreams. And that was that, you know, that was the end. That was the end of my life as I knew it. And I was quite pleased with that. And I'm quite pleased with the feeling that I got from Luke and Lorelei. And did you get that same kind of feeling?
I did.
Yeah.
Like a giddy smile that you just can't wipe off your face.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
I did.
And that's why I think And this is the great thing about Luke and Lorelai too, because they feel like real people, even though Lorelai talks wicked fast and she has so much pop culture knowledge that it's almost impossible. But it's regardless of that, the way that she makes you feel like a real person. Mm-hmm. And oh my God. Yep. I'm in. I'm totally in. I'm all in. Just like Luke. I'm all in. And I love this episode.
Perfect.
Probably one of my top 4 or 5, despite the fact that I gave it a 4.4, 4.5 rating, coffee rating.
Hey, I'll forgive you.
I'm being a little tough. I'm not going to lie.
Let's jump into some trivia.
Let's do it. All right, so this first one is Emily Gilmore's maid was Madonna Louise, which was named after, of course, the singer and entertainer Madonna, whose full name is actually Madonna Louise. I think this is Ciccone. I think it's Ciccone. I could be wrong, Ciccone, but it's Madonna Louise Ciccone.
See, that's the problem with these artists that just go by one name. You have no idea how to pronounce a last name.
The real name, I have no idea. Yeah. But imagine that, named after Madonna.
Another fun fact, discussing Asher Fleming's death while portraying Shakespeare character Puck, Paris made reference to Dick Shawn, who died in the middle of a comic routine. The audience, get this, thought it was part of the act. Liza Wheel originally tested for the role of Rory. Oh, sorry.
You're getting into mine.
Well, you didn't add
You are so Ron Burgundy.
I am. I read it as
I'm
it's written.
I'm Ron Burgundy?
Okay, you go. You can read this next one.
Liza Whale, originally tested, who we all know Liza Whale as Paris. She originally tested for the role of Rory, but did not get the part. But the producers liked her so much that they actually wrote her the role of Paris Geller.
I love it.
And so you can see how they are similar to each other. Mm-hmm. You can see why she's the more serious
bookie. They're both bookie, though. Yeah, yeah,
but she's even more
auditioned.
Bookie, you know?
No.
I think she's even more bookie. She's and she is the more serious version of Rory.
Yes.
And it works, but it doesn't work.
Last fun fact.
The exterior shot of the Dragonfly Inn, and we did see this last episode, is actually the home of TV's The Waltons. So if you ever watch the show The Waltons...
No, I have not.
Their home is the exterior shot of the Dragonfly Inn is the home
they
of The Waltons.
They lived in an inn.
They lived in... No, I think the inn is actually living in the Waltons' home.
Man.
Just how that goes. But that is it. That is it for the trivia, my love. Final thoughts for this episode. You got any?
I loved it. I want to watch it again right now.
I kind of want to watch it again, too. I'm not going to lie.
But instead, we need to get ready for Season 3, Episode 13, Dear Emily and Richard, because that is going to be the next episode that we talk about for the best Lorelai and Emily episode.
Oh,
so
I like
for those of you who
too.
Are watching along with us, cue up Season 3, Episode 13,
ready to
Dear
close
Emily
out the show?
And Richard. Yeah.
All right, let's do it. You know, you're right. It kind of makes you want to, you know, sing along this. La, la, la.
Yeah. You just want to bob your head. So thank you, all of you who are listening along to this podcast. You've Been Gilmore is officially up in iTunes. Mm-hmm. And if you are enjoying it, we would love for you to take a moment just to share it, because Blake and I did not know that there were so many Gilmore Girls fans in this world until we started talking about it on social media. So take a moment, share it on Facebook, Twitter, heck, even Instagram, because our artwork is really freaking cute. And
it
just
is awesome.
Say, guess what? I'm listening to this new podcast, having a blast, rewatching some of the best episodes, right. Gearing up for the new season, and you can too. Always use the hashtag You've Been Gilmore.
Now, the most important thing people always say is reviews, reviews, reviews. And they are important. I'm not going to lie. But the most important thing you can do, in my opinion, is like what Mary said. Just tell a friend. Tell a friend that we exist. Tell a friend that Mary and Blake exist. And tell them that we have this really cool podcast about Gilmore Girls, among all the other stuff that we have, too. I would greatly appreciate that. You can also find everything that Mary and I do at our website, maryandblake.co. All of our podcasts, all of our blogs are there. And my love, it looks like we actually have a review to call out. Please, let's do so.
Jess Rhodes Biz says, I love Mary and Blake's podcast. I don't listen to the other TV shows they podcast about, but I love their show Parent Cast, which has, sadly for me, their number one fan.
Sorry, Jess.
Been on hiatus. It'll come back, Jess. We're like binging Gilmore Girls, I promise.
Wait, what was it again?
A what? Oh, I made up a word. Didn't even know that.
Yes, you did.
Just says, I'm so excited that they started this show and talked about a TV show that I'm obsessed with. I binged the entire Gilmore Girls series last year on my maternity leave and cannot wait for the Netflix series. Listening to you, Ben Gilmore, is rekindling my love for rekindling my Gilmore Girls fire. I just made up a word in there, too. I add another one. And we have another review with four coffee cups by USMCWIV. This person, because I don't know if it's a male or female, and I have no idea. Even the smiley face is an androgynous.
We'll just call it Pat. That's who this is. Androgynous Pat.
Hold on. I want to find out who this person is. Says, funny and engaging. Grab your coffee, latte, mocha, hot tea, or apple cider, and join Mary and Blake as they highlight this amazing show. Be prepared to be Gilmore. Where's that ding? Well done once again, you too. So thank you guys so much. I am pumped that there are two ratings in there.
Me too.
My day.
Let's get some more.
Yeah.
You know what? Here's the next thing. The next five people that give us a rating,
yeah,
I'm going to write a handwritten card.
You are, to them. Or I'm
it. No, I'm going to do it because you have a hard time keeping up. So I'm going to do it.
Okay.
So write a review. Send us an email at maryandblakemedia@gmail.com.
Mary and Blake Media?
Yeah,
maryandblakemedia@gmail.com.
maryandblakemedia@gmail.com. Let me know. Give me the iTunes name that you
username.
Got. Your username. And give me your snail mail address, and I will write you a personal handwritten little note thanking you. And that's what we'll do. So the next five people.
Well, Jess can be included, and so can US, whatever all those letters
are.
Yeah.
Well, we'll include them too. Yeah. We'll include them too, but the next five people.
All right. Well, until next time, ladies and gents, I'm Mary Larson.
My name is Blake.
And you've been listening to You've Been Gilmored. Ladies and gents, I'm back. I lied. But I just wanted to let you know that, as always, this You've Been Gilmored has been a production of Mary and Blake Media. And we are not really official people. We're not doctors.
No, we're official people.
No, like, we're official people. But, like, we don't really have, like, titles after our names, like PhD or DO.
We don't got letters after our names.
You know.
DO? What's DO?
Notorious B.I.G. I don't know. No, there's some people who have D.O. Maybe that's like Doctor of Obstetrics. That means lady parts. So anyway, we don't have like any real degrees.
No.
So please don't sue us if we said something that offended you. The only thing that we do know is Blake does know how to make coffee.
That's right.
If you would like to counteract his degrees in Fahrenheit at which you should brew the perfect cup of coffee, shoot us an email at maryandblakemedia@gmail.com and he will further that conversation.
Wait, counteract?
I don't know what I'm saying. It is late at night. It's 8:52.
There's another
thing.
What
do people do after 7:30 at night?
I think this it's ridiculous. What are they doing?
I can't talk after 7:30 at night. This is crazy. Let's end this show before I make a fool of myself.
You
know,
I think you got five dings today. In a half
did.
Hour? In 42 minutes,
I
you got five
coffee.
Dings.
I need coffee.
Can't get it as good as it is at Luke's, I'll tell you that.
My little Keurig probably doesn't even get past 100 degrees.
All right. Close it out.
And now another no-brainer money-saving tip from Progressive.
Marcus, what happened?
I was changing my oil and I spilled some on the floor.
Oh, well, use these $50 bills to wipe it up.
Perfect. Got any more?
Yeah, take a couple hundred.
Stop. Instead of using money, use an old rag. And here's a better tip from Progressive on how not to waste money. Don't pay too much for car insurance. Drivers who switch and save could save hundreds. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Potential savings will vary.